98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Yachin Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Happy Friday to you, my friend. Happy Friday to you.
Yep. Happy Friday to you, my friend.
By the next time we are together, after these next 4 hours, we'll know. We will know where, we will know when, we will know who, and we'll know what. Yeah, we'll know all of it. Just find out whether the Cardinals are going to win that game or not. We'll find out everything we need to know sometime on Sunday afternoon, and then we'll probably at some point Sunday night get the playoff schedule, and we're all very excited about it. Did you hear all the guys that we've got coming up on the show today in like the first hour and a half of the show?
It's a big show. We got Cam Johnson, who lit it up last night. Oh my goodness, he's so good. What a great draft pick, right? I mean, Cam Johnson. We got Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, with the J.J. Watt news.
Yep.
We got our boy Brock Heward on the show. So we'll talk some Seattle Seahawks, Arizona Cardinals with Brock. So it's big show.
It's all
missing anybody?
Nope, that's it. And it's all right out of the chute. Bang, bang, bang. In the first hour and 15 minutes of the show, we're bringing you Steve Keim. We're bringing you Cam Johnson. We're bringing you Brock Heward. Everything you need is right here on the Burns and Gambo show. There's a lot going on, a lot to talk about. Let's not waste your time. Let's weigh in on the top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
The email came out this morning. The Arizona Cardinals designate Watt to return from injured reserve. J.J. Watt is back and can begin practicing with the team, and the team can activate him to the 53-man roster at any time during the next 21 days. Here we go.
I'm looking at a story that I had up on ArizonaSports.com November 16th. We had a story in which I was reporting that J.J. Watt wants to return this season, that he's hopeful that he will return this season after undergoing surgery on his shoulder, and basically saying that he's already back in the weight room and that he is targeting the postseason for his return. So we had that back in mid-November, and here it is, the news coming out today that J.J. Watt has a chance. Now, he's not going to play this week, no chance playing against Seattle, but the goal is simply to get him ready so he can play in that very first playoff game against whoever the opponent is.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport today with a few more details on the return.
A significant update for J.J. Watt. Remember J.J. Watt, the star defender for the Arizona Cardinals, who had many, many surgeries on his shoulder area earlier in the season? And in 2 months ago, late October, he had a torn labrum, he had a rotator cuff, he had a bicep. I think most people just said, all right, out for the year. Not J.J. Watt. He is designated to return officially to practice today. So he actually comes back to practice before the regular season ends, which is just wild. And I am told Watt is planning a return for the first week of the playoffs. Originally, the plan was from just to be back for the Super Bowl if the Arizona Cardinals made it. But he has pushed so hard in rehab, it is now described to me as realistic that Watt could actually be on the field for the first playoff game for the Cardinals.
Oh, baby.
Yeah,
oh,
that is baby. The goal. And that is, you know, again, I go back to mid-November. That is what we were reporting, that he was going to try to make it a go for week one in the playoffs. Now, at that time, it was still the possibility of a bye week, which would have bought him an extra week to get ready. But the goal had always been that he wanted to make it back for the playoffs. He worked his ass off. He hit the weight room every day. And my expectations, based on what I'm hearing, he's way ahead of schedule, and that they do expect that he will be able to play in that very first playoff game.
Yeah, I'm looking at both monitors right now here in the studio. It's the top story on both ESPN's NFL Live and the NFL Network. They're both talking about it simultaneously right now. They just put a graphic up on ESPN.com that showed the success of the Cardinals' defense with and without J.J. Watt. Now, they've done a perfectly fine job without him, but there's no doubt statistically some of their best games came with him. And the stats, whether it was points per game, whether it was pressure percentage, whether it was pressures in general, it was all better with J.J. Watt. Now, what kind of a pitch count he's going to be on, what sort of a snap percentage he's going to be on remains to be seen. Cliff Kingsbury today was talking about the juice that Watt's potential return gives the team.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and it's big time to have that type of player come back and be around your guys. I mean, everybody in this building has the utmost respect for what he's accomplished and how he works and what he's about. And, you know, he leads through his actions and his words. He's a tremendous public speaker, as we found out. But it's great to have him. And guys definitely perk up anytime 99's around.
Yeah, that'll be the real thing to see. Oh, I've got to imagine he's going to play against whoever the first-round opponent is in a
yes.
week from now.
Yep.
It's just a question of how much he plays.
How much can he play? How much? If there's a lift no matter what. I mean, there's this emotional lift that J.J. Watt's back. Now, you know, does he play 25% of the snaps, 50% of the snaps, 75% of the snaps? He's been working and gearing up to be able to play. My expectations are that he'll give them whatever they need him to. So if they want him to play 50% of the snaps, he'll play 50% of the snaps. You know, he's not going to be in the best football shape because he hasn't played in some time, but you'll also go on adrenaline. A guy like J.J. Watt plays off of adrenaline. Playoff game, atmosphere like this. I mean, this guy plays the game because he loves the game. So adrenaline will carry him for a lot in this, but just getting him back will be a big lift. Look, if they could win that first game and he gets a game under his belt, that could be even better for the second game. But the good news is that and he was always coming back next year. The contract was structured to where J.J. Watt was going to be on the Cardinals this year and next year. There wasn't any scenario in which he was only going to be here for 1 year and then he was going to get let go, and there's no cutting him or anything. Again, the way the contract was structured, it doesn't pay. He will be on the Cardinals next year. But give this guy a lot of credit for working his ass off to get back to play in this game.
Well, I mean, look, we've talked about this so much since he went out with the injury. I mean, he's a guy, he's a highly motivated guy. He's highly motivated. He's a driven competitor. He wants to show his value to the Cardinals in his first year. And I think there's a narrative here about J.J. Watt that he gets hurt all the time. And it's partly true. I mean, if we're being honest about ourselves, it was one of the concerns about the Cardinals signing him, is that he does have a tendency towards the injuries, but he wants to disprove that narrative as much as possible. I think he's very motivated to show the NFL, yeah, I get hurt, but I'm also very, very motivated to get back. And I think
right.
how hard he worked to get to this moment, man, whether it's Cliff Kingsbury, whether it's Rodney Hudson, it's obvious that everybody on this roster is beyond impressed with how he busted his ass to get back to the spot. He didn't have to, but he did, in part because he wants to help his team, and I think in part because there's this belief out there that he gets hurt a lot and he wants to kind of change that narrative in the latter stages of his career.
Well, I think what you said is exactly right, right? He didn't have to. I mean, no, that was a severe injury. I mean, it was very simple. Season ending. I remember us talking about it in mid-November when we broke the story that he wanted to come back and play in the playoffs. Well, you know, it just seemed so, God, can he really make it back in that short amount of time? But at that time, I had heard he was already in the weight room. Like, he was already in the weight room doing stuff. So he was motivated to play. You know, back then when we brought it up in mid-November, it just seemed like, man, it just seems almost impossible that he wants to do it, but it just seems so hard with that injury. But he made it back. He's way ahead of schedule, just way ahead of schedule. When I spoke with some people today, you know, that's the word I got. Now, big lift, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm glad that he's that type of player, right? I mean, whatever he can give them, if it's 10 plays, 15 plays, 20 plays, you just never know. I remember for the New York Knicks, the last time they won an NBA championship, Willis Reed came back from an injury, got on, didn't do a damn thing, but just the return. Just the return of Willis Reed helped the New York Knicks win a championship because he walked onto that court and the crowd just went crazy. Now, we don't know if the Cardinals are going to be playing at home or on the road,
right.
But can you imagine a home game? Can you imagine if they do get a home game? And the crowd's there, and all of a sudden J.J. Watt comes out. They're going to go nuts.
They are going to go nuts. We'll see what the snap percentage looks like. We'll see how much he plays. I think you're going to have a really hard time keeping him off the field if you're the Cardinals. But remember, he tore his labrum, bicep, and rotator cuff, in addition to dislocating his shoulder in October against Houston. It's crazy.
People go through that every day.
Oh, yeah. Piece of cake. Yeah. Not that big of a deal at all. He says sarcastically. In the meantime, there are other Cardinals to update you on. There's not a lot of sound here, so we can fill it in, but I'll tell you, Cliff Kingsbury today ruled out Rondale Moore and ruled out Marco Wilson.
No, both those guys will be down this week.
And he ruled out Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, it looks like he'll be out. this week. Hope to get him back next week.
And then when asked about Jordan Phillips.
Yes, on Jordan. Not sure when that will be. Maybe next week, maybe the week after if we're still in it.
The question was if Jordan Phillips will return on defense this season. He said yes, but probably not this week. Maybe next week. We'll see. So for those of you keeping score at home, no Chase Edmonds, no Rondell Moore, no Marco Wilson, no Jordan Phillips in this game. And, of course, as you said, no J.J. Watt. He's not going to play this week. There's no, I mean, there's a reason to, but there's not a big enough reason to.
Well, I remember I said yesterday that my expectations from what I'm hearing is that James Conner's going to play, but they're going to hold Chase Edmonds out and try to get him as close to 100% as they can for the playoff game. So my expectations were they were going to have James Conner, but not Chase Edmonds. And, you know, I said this a couple times. I was really worried about the cornerbacks, Burnsy. I was really worried about, I wasn't hearing anything good on Alford and Marco Wilson being able to play this week. So, you know, that looks like that's what's going to happen. Neither one of those guys are going to play. But the most important thing is get those guys back for the playoffs. I think there's a chance they'll have both of those guys back for the playoffs, plus Chase back for the playoffs, and then J.J. Watt back for the playoffs. So I think the reinforcements are coming. You just got to wait a little bit more time.
Real quickly from the Seattle Seahawks, they have ruled Bobby Wagner out of Sunday's game against Arizona. He will not play. Cornerback John Reed won't play. Right tackle Brandon Shell won't play. But Bobby Wagner is not going to play in that game. 2:25 kickoff. And, of course, by now everybody knows the deal. Cardinals beat the Seahawks and the Niners beat the Rams. The Cardinals will win the division and will host a playoff game. If it goes the other way around, then the Cardinals likely will start on the road. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Phoenix Suns, another win, best record in the NBA, and Cam Johnson didn't waste any time adding to his current hot streak. He will join us next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Home of the Suns. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Coming off the court, you hear it straight from a Suns player with Burns and Gambo. Presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Booker holding left wing. Now fires cross court to Cam Johnson, open for three, and that one is nothing but the bottom of the net. Suns by 14. Cameron Johnson, a new career high, 24 points on the night.
Suns beat the Clippers last night, 106-89. What was that?
Bloomer.
Bloomer.
Bloomer's back.
Bloomer's back.
It was good to hear his voice. He's so good at what he does, just so good. I love the passion he brings. He just does such a great job. That was the dagger last night, right? I mean, I put that in my notes today that you didn't even get, but the dagger, that three-pointer with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left, that made it 99-85, and that was that was the ball game. And the Clippers made some runs there. I mean, the Suns got to a big lead early in the game, and then at one point, I think it was 85-80 in the fourth quarter. It was a five-point game, and it was a three-point game after that bum Marcus Morris had a three-point play. I could say bum, right? I mean,
you're allowed. Well, if Aaron Rodgers can say it about Hubarkus, you can say it about Markieff.
That bum Marcus Morris. It was 87-83, and you're like, geez, I mean, this is a lot too close for comfort. But they ended up pulling away, and Cam had not only the three-pointer there, but he had a beautiful basket right at the rim on a pass from Chris Paul that kind of got him going. But the three-pointer with 2:06 left that put him up by 14, that was the dagger. The ball game was over after that.
Yeah, we are scheduled to be joined by Cam Johnson. I expect he'll be calling in any moment as the Suns not only get the win last night against the Clippers, they're the first team in the NBA to 30 wins. They've got the best record now in the NBA. It's a real grinded-out game last night. Neither team shot the ball all that well. The Clippers were at about 36%. The Suns were right around 41%. Devin Booker had one of those nights, and we see him really rarely from time to time shoot the ball that poorly. He was 5 of 22. He was 5 of 22, and he only had 11 points. That's just the fifth time in the last three seasons that he shot under 25% in a game. But, man, they rebounded the ball very well. There were a lot of misses out there to get when the two teams were shooting that poorly. And the Suns did a really good job getting the boards last night.
I don't even have Book down for a basket in the fourth quarter.
I don't think he did. I think his...
I'm looking at everything. Jalen, Payton, Mikhail, Paul, Jalen, Paul, Cam, Javette. Jalen, I don't even. Then at the end of the game, you had the three pointer by Jackson. You had the dunk by Ish Wainwright. I haven't watched the last 2 minutes to watch. watch the bench guys to see what the bench guys could do. Like, you know, you may never see these guys again for the rest of your life. So, you know, to see Ish Wainwright get that dunk, the follow dunk with authority, and then to see Jackson knock down the three-pointer, I was happy for those guys. I think the other guy, Bass, he got to the free throw line for a couple. So I was just watching just to see those guys because that was their moment. You know, those guys, that was their moment to play.
Yeah, it was. Devin Booker, it was at one point, I think it was in the second quarter, the cameras, the TNT cameras, Devin Booker's out there talking to himself, right? He's like muttering to himself. He's mad. You can just see him out there.
Mark Fidrich,
he was having a conversation with himself on the floor because he could just tell he didn't have it. And while we're waiting for Cam Johnson to call in, I'll tell you that Jalen Smith did it again last night. 19 points, 14 rebounds, 8 offensive boards. Chris Paul, after the game, quote, he can really play. He was in Jalen Smith's ear all game long, proud with what he's been able to add to the team in the absence of Ayton, in the absence of JaVale McGee. It was another double-double for Jalen Smith, his third in the last 5 games.
Wow. What was the movie The Breakfast Club? What was the girl that they put the makeup on and all of a sudden she got really pretty?
Ali Sheedy.
Remember in the beginning she was just like, you know, her hair wasn't done. She was a mess, the clothes she wore and everything. And all of a sudden, Molly Ringwald starts to work on her a little bit. Next thing you know, she's just that's Jalen Smith. Man, it's Jalen Smith. They put a little makeup on him, did the hair, and all of a sudden, wow.
You know, Suns fans are Emilio Estevez when Ali Sheedy comes out of the back room.
Exactly.
Whoa, wait, who are you?
Wait a second. Wow. Like, okay, all right. Yeah, Jalen Smith is Ali Sheedy. Yeah, beginning, you know, you watch the movie, you're thinking, oh, okay, you don't think anything of it, right? And all of a sudden, the end of the movie.
But to be fair, if you had seen Ali Sheedy in anything before The Breakfast Club, you knew she was pretty cute before that, right?
I'm just talking about in The Breakfast Club.
Okay, all right.
The way that they made her look crazy, the way she dressed and everything. You know, you know, you don't give it a second look. But at the end of the movie, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, I got an Ali Sheedy versus Jalen Smith comparison there. I think you liked it.
I do like that. Yeah. I like that very much, as a matter of fact. That's very funny.
Jalen Smith, Ali Sheedy.
Chris Paul after the game.
Guys played great. I mean, we stuck together. You know, in time like this, got a lot of guys out. You know, we waited on a lot of guys to come back. So different guys stepped up, and it's a great team win for us. That's how we've been playing for the last year and a half.
All right, we just got word, Cam Johnson, 2:30. So I promise, Cam Johnson coming up at 2:30. So we were going to talk about the Suns game at 2:30 anyway, so that's what we're doing right now. The question then becomes, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Gambo, and I still don't know what the answer to this question is. With how well Jalen Smith has played in these last 5 games, if you start getting dudes back on Saturday, then what for a guy like Jalen Smith? What happens to Jalen Smith when guys come back, possibly as early as Saturday? I don't know the answer to that.
I think this is different than Frank Kaminsky. I think you got to play the kid. I think he's got to continue to get some time and get minutes at the 4 and at the 5. There's versatility there. He could play the 4, he could play the 5. So I'm going to continue to play him, and I'm going to continue to play him because I think he can help me now in the playoffs. I think he can give me more length. I think he can give me some shot. He's unbelievable. How many offensive rebounds did he have last night?
He had 8 last night.
He's the best offensive rebounder on this team. He's the best offensive rebounder I think they have. He's a really, really good offensive rebounder. I want to find a role for him. I want to find a spot for him. Now, you know, it's most likely he's going to play a lot with the second unit. But the way Monty plays, sometimes, you know, you see a lot of times the second unit gets to play with Chris Paul, which is a big deal for them, right? I mean, because Chris Paul stays on the court. The way Monty does the substitutions, you're always going to see Chris Paul play with that second unit a little bit. And sometimes now, you know, with everybody out, they've been playing 3 guards. You'll also see Paul play with Peyton and campaign together. But I think that Monty is a good enough coach where he'll figure it out. I think that Jalen Smith may have moved ahead of Frank Kaminsky on the chart for playing times.
He's playing with a lot of energy. That was really obvious watching his game last night. That was really obvious watching his game for the last week and a half, 2 weeks in these games that he's played. He plays with a high degree of energy, and it's very obvious to your point about Chris Paul, that Chris Paul's got his attention, that Chris Paul, you know, like all last year, you could see Chris Paul working on DeAndre Ayton. And not that DeAndre Ayton was Jalen Smith, but you could see Chris Paul, he's in his ear. He's working with him. He's molding his game. He's trying to get him to see it the way Chris, you could see that last night. You can see Chris working with Jalen Smith. You've seen it during these last five games when he's played so well. And I think you're right. Based off of that, based off of the attention that he has paid to Jalen Smith, I do think we'll see him a little bit more. I also don't know when Frank's going to be back, so that might kind of keep an open spot right there. It's just, and we don't know, here's the other thing we don't know. We don't know if Saturday's going to be the day all these guys come back. Monty spoke at practice today, and he wouldn't commit to it one way or another. He basically said, hey, today was a big conditioning day for Ayton and McGee and Crowder. I don't know where they're going to be for Saturday's game against Miami. We'll see. We might have one more game of not having those guys, or maybe they're all back. I don't know. But one way or another, it's another dilemma, and it's a good dilemma for Monty Williams to figure out how to get another really good bench player some minutes in these games.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, listen, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yep.
I mean, it's a really good problem to have when you've got that much talent and you got to figure out how to get those guys in the game.
It is the last week of the NFL season, which means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up, compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill, courtesy of Modelo Especial, and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. When we come back, Cam Johnson, 24 points, a career high. He will join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Home of the Suns. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Coming off the court, you hear it straight from a Suns player with Burns and Gambo. Presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Booker holding left wing. Now fires cross court to Cam Johnson, open for three, and that one is nothing but the bottom of the net. Suns by 14. Cameron Johnson, a new career high, 24 points on the night.
And joining us right now on the 72 sold sports line, coming off the court,
hey guys,
is, yeah, what?
Oh, hello?
Can you hear us? Okay. Yeah, we can hear you fine, Gambo. You okay? We heard you okay. Yeah, we can hear you okay. We're having some technical problems. You know what? While we're getting things technically set up with Gambo, because he's working from home today, let's welcome in our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Cam Johnson, who joins us here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cam, you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Gambo, are you with us?
I am, yeah. Oh, somebody had. I was listening to our news department do like an update. I'm like, these guys got me on the news. I'm working from home, Cam, and Dave's in the studio. So I was listening to like news updates on the coronavirus and stuff like that.
Sorry about that, Cam. We apologize for the confusion. But we're all with you now. Congratulations on your career high last night, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Burns, you weren't here. The last time we had Cam on, you were on vacation. We talked about it. The first interview that Cam did when he signed with the Suns was with us, and he still remembers it. He remembers exactly where he was at that time. Right, Cam?
I do.
Yeah. And look, and just look at you now. I mean, you know, we go back to that. At that time, when everybody talked about Cam Johnson being drafted, they all talked about a specialist. He's going to be a three-point shooter. He's just, man, we have watched you grow and develop into one hell of a basketball player. I mean, defensively, you've become so good. Your passing has been fantastic. The way you space the floor with your shooting, the ability to cut and take it to the rim. We have seen an overall game. We haven't seen a specialist, but tell me to get to this point. I mean, obviously a lot of work. Was that always part of your arsenal even when you were in college?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, I look back at where I've been and where I've played, and in different levels of the game, I've had different roles, and some of them were much more primarily on ball, much less of a three-point specialist, much less of my points coming from three. But in college, I kind of used that to get my way onto the court, and from there, it kind of grew. But it's stuff that we work on all the time. We have a great player development program, and it's stuff that I've been working on since I stepped foot in Phoenix. And just naturally over time, you know, you start to show it in games.
Is it stuff that this, it's, I don't want to call it new stuff, because it's obviously not new stuff to you. You just said that a second ago. But do you find that in practices you're constantly working to tweak and evolve your game in ways like that, whether it's cutting to the hoop, whether it's your passing, which I think has been brilliant during the last couple of months of the season? Do you find working more on that in practice than you normally would because you're still kind of evolving that part of your game to a certain extent?
To an extent, but you just start looking at the details and where, you know, you might have messed up at one point in a certain game. And it becomes a lot more technical in terms of watching film and seeing what's working and what's not working and seeing how even other guys are finding a way to get it done. You look at somebody like Mikhail, he's one of the best cutters in the league, and he's always been like that. And seeing where he picks those up, it's like, oh, I can find a couple of these too. But just finding flow with the guys on the court is another main thing, and we're just out there having fun.
We've talked a lot about the numbers since December, how your numbers have just gone, just blown up since December. I can't pinpoint a certain game or anything where that happened, but to you, was there anything different about that time period in these last, like, 5 or 6 weeks that your game has been a little different?
Just really focusing on getting to full health and ironing out some, you know, inconsistencies that I came across. I remember those first 10 games or so, there's a lot of shots that I took that felt like they would 100% go in and just might have, you know, bobbled out. And so just honing in on details, getting, you know, into mid-season type shape and just, you know, getting back into the full swing of things coming off a short off season were mainly the things that started clicking. And, you know, like I said before, this is just a fun group to play with. And when we get it rolling, you just kind of forget about everything else and find ways to win.
You're going to get your minutes, whether you're starting or coming off the bench. But with Jay being out, you getting this opportunity to start, is there any difference there for you in the starters' minutes compared to the bench minutes?
I think the biggest difference was just that I had to play more since Jay wasn't there. But, you know, the different time frames of the game, it doesn't really change much. You know, I'm looking to do the same things, whether I'm coming off the bench or starting. It doesn't really change my mindset, the team's mindset, or anything like that. And it's just kind of part of our identity where guys can shuffle around in different lineups with different groups and still find a way to get it done.
Do you, this might sound like a dumb question for Cam Johnson. In fact, I know it's a dumb question, but how much do you enjoy the fact that you get to start while Jay's out? I mean, I know nobody wants Jay to not be in there, but how much do you enjoy this opportunity to start when he's out?
I just enjoy playing the game of basketball, whether it's starting coming off the bench, just the opportunities, just the fact that, you know, I'm able to suit up each of these nights. It's a blessing that you just kind of learn not to take for granted. Sometimes it can get pulled away from you. And obviously we want all our guys at full strength, and it's good to have guys coming back into the gym. But, you know, it's fun. That's the bottom line. It's fun.
Cam Johnson, career high 24 points last night. Also his 21st consecutive game with at least two made three-point field goals. That's the longest streak in the NBA so far this year. Monty Williams, about you a couple of days ago, said a couple of things. Number one, said we keep shooting. We want you to shoot more. And number two, he said that he thought you were in better physical condition right now, as it takes younger players a while to figure out to be in NBA game shape. Do you agree with both of those, Cam?
I do. On the shape side of things, the NBA is a different league. It's different than college. The physical grind of it is different. In college, you know, you can kind of give your all one night, and then you got a lot of nights in between to get better. But in the NBA, they just come so quick that there's just a different level of physicality and a different level of preparedness that you need. And that naturally you start to figure out as time goes on. And I think I'm getting to a point where that's definitely getting better. And, you know, I try to find shots in the flow of the game. I've been a shooter for a while now. I've made a lot of shots. I've missed a lot of shots and kind of take that cumulative information and find out what I like, what I dislike, and what I need to work on when something's not going right. And, you know, I appreciate to the fullest extent having a coach that gives me that sort of green light. As a shooter, mentally, that goes a very long way.
I love the way you guys cheer on your teammates. I mean, when Ish Wainwright had the follow dunk last night, when Jackson hits the three, when with the things that Jalen has done and his opportunity. So I'm going to ask you about Jalen. I'm not sure how you're going to answer this. I don't think any of us saw this coming because he didn't play much. And all of a sudden now he gets an opportunity to play. And he looks like he could be a freaking all-star. Like, are you somewhat or any surprised by how well he has played?
I'll be honest. Yes, he's the level that he's played at has been very high for us. And it's just very impressive to see the work that he's put in, to see him stay locked in and then rise to the occasion in a moment like this where we really needed him. We've really depended on him these last 5-6 games, and he's come through, and he's played hard. He's played with physicality. He's done everything that we've asked him to do, and that is very appreciated amongst the guys, and for him to just put his head down and work through last year, through the beginning of this year, to get his moment. That's pretty cool to see.
You've watched as Mikal Bridges got his contract extension, and I think eventually DA is going to get his, and Chris Paul re-signed. You are eligible for a rookie extension after this season is over. You have played extremely well. Everybody wants you to remain a Phoenix Suns. All of the fans love you. Is it something you think about? Are you motivated by that possible rookie extension?
I'm motivated by trying to get back to the championship. That's, you know, chronologically, that is absolutely first. There's no way around that. But just getting back to that stage is what motivates us all. And it's, you know, I love being here. I love playing in the city. I love the fans. I love my teammates. I love the organization. So to that end, you know, this is definitely where I'd like to be. But I don't worry about that right now. And I'm just enjoying this process. Enjoying every game as it comes and really trying to prepare for a deep playoff run. Because once you get a taste of it, once you kind of figure out what that's like and the energy in the playoff atmosphere and the finals atmosphere, it's something that you definitely want again. So before anything else, that's definitely first.
You're always a great conversation, Cam. We appreciate the time. Thanks for making a few minutes for us. I'm sure we'll have you on at some point in the near future. Best of luck, continued success, and again, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Cam Johnson joining us, 72 Sold Sportsline. Get your price at 72sold.com. A career-high 24 last night in the Suns' win against the L.A. Clippers. When we come back, Seattle's never been easy for the Cardinals to play at State Farm Stadium. Given the state of the Seahawks franchise, are things going to be different this time? We'll talk about that coming up. Burns and Gambo.
Coming off the court, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Football Friday with Burns and Gambo.
Alert, alert, alert!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM.
51, 51, let's go, here we go.
Arizona's sports station.
Card Seahawks, 2:25 in the afternoon. Sunday, you'll hear it here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. By now, everybody knows the drill. Beat the Seahawks and get a win by the Niners over the Rams, and the Cardinals will be hosting a playoff game. Lose to the Seahawks, and the Cardinals will be on the road to start the playoffs. And since the common denominator here is the Seahawks, and because he's such a good friend of the show and such a nice guy, and he never tells us no, Brock Huer joining us from Fox Sports in the Pacific Northwest, as he always joins us every single time the Cards play the Seahawks. How are you doing, my friend? Good to talk to you. What's up?
I had to tell others no.
Did you?
I did.
You beating off other, like, wait, you had to tell other shows at this station no?
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I did for you two.
Seriously. Wow. As it, if I could I mean, love you anymore.
Aaron
bro.
Mahoney came calling a couple times.
Well, you tell her no. You know, it's
show came calling.
We've got a very monogamous thing going on here. Yeah. You know,
nobody
the
wants to get
us
up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do an interview.
Nope. I said, I'm sorry. I'm committed. I am pot committed to Burns and Gambo on Friday. I can't do it.
My friend, I caught you doing an NFL game a few weeks ago. Congrats.
Oh, a little Rams Seahawks on a Tuesday
Rams
night.
Rams Seahawks.
I watched that too.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, the NFL is about 25 times easier than college. So there's about half the names. You know everybody. They huddle. The game's less than 3 hours. The game moves. It's the best booths. That stadium, SoFi, is ridiculous. So honestly, it is. I tell people that, and they kind of chuckle. But doing an NFL game is 10 to 25. Next time Pastor's on, you can ask him. But I think it's 10 to 25 times easier than college. The booths are terrible. College have 100 players. You don't know names. Players constantly in, constantly out. They don't huddle. Games can be 4 hours long. I mean, it's a whole lot more challenging at the collegiate level.
All right, you're our go-to guy when it comes to all things Seahawks. You have been for, it feels like, nearly a decade now. So from your perspective, what is Seattle's motivation going into this game? Do they, I know what the Cardinals, I talked about it at the outset, but from the Seahawks standpoint, what is their level of interest in giving the Cardinals the most competitive game they possibly can on this Sunday?
Very high.
Okay.
Interest is very high. Talent is still, in some spots, very limited. Roster, as they've shown this season, in a six-win season, is not nearly as strong and as deep and as talented as the times that we have talked over the last 10 years or so. But their motivation, incredibly high. Pete's motivation, incredibly high, to show that this thing is pointing in the right direction, not the wrong direction. Russell Wilson, incredibly high, to show that he is still, in his mind, one of the five best quarterbacks playing, and his finger is no longer an issue, and the finger was really the whole problem for this entire season. For DK Metcalf, he wants a new contract. For Tyler Lockett, he wants to finish strong and continue to polish numbers that have been some of the best in the history of the Seahawks over the last three seasons. For a running back that has been one of the best in the game the last month, Rashad Penny, he wants to show in a contract year that he is worthy of being rewarded for what he's done here in the second half of this season. Defensively, they're a bit banged up. We'll see whether or not Bobby Wagner can go. I would doubt he'll be able to go. Carlos Dunlap is a bit banged up, but defensively, to show that they are still competent, still capable, and that the scheme under Ken Norton still functions. So they are incredibly motivated to play well on Sunday.
Any concern that that a lot of players are motivated just to play well as individuals because you're trying to make a play on a ball, see if you can get that pick because you're playing for that next contract? I mean, I understand that guys are motivated to play well, but sometimes that backfires when you're trying to play well as an individual and not as part of the team.
Yeah, I don't think defensively they've got too many of those guys. Sidney Jones is back off of the COVID list, so he and DJ Reed will probably start at corner. Reed was back and had a couple picks last week, and though they are in contract years, as is Quandre Diggs, I don't think so, Gambo. I think they know they want to just flat out make plays, that they want to be difference makers, that they want to, you know, be a thorn in the side of Arizona in everything, as you said, that is on the line for the Cardinals in a place in a building that they have typically over the last few years played very well in.
Yeah. Any reason for that? When you look at the success that they've had in this building and vice versa, the Cardinals have always seemed to play well in Seattle. Seattle plays well here. A lot of fans from Seattle come down here to watch that game. But anything to that as to why they play so well in Arizona?
I think that's part of it. I think this is also a pretty fast team. The Jordan Brooks of the world, the DK and Tyler Lockett's, and obviously Russell is a guy that enjoys, and especially this year with that finger, that I think is closing in finally on being 100%. But, you know, when you're in the gray and you're in the rain, and I just saw some numbers. There's a town out on the coast named Hoquiam, H-O-Q-U-I-A-M. Hoquiam, Washington, had almost 6 inches of rain in one day.
Oh, jeez.
One day yesterday. So they have had record rainfall. It has been awful. December, January. So I think at times, I've certainly felt that way as a player. Like, man, I got a new lease on life. You kidding me? The sun is out. It's warm. I feel good. It's not gray, rainy, cloudy, and I'm not floating down the road to get to the facility. So that may play a little bit of a role, but I also think, frankly, the matchup too in both of those venues, teams that have had success in each other's place, probably plays a small role as well.
Brock Huard joined joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. We obviously trust your judgment quite a bit when it comes to all things football. That's why we enjoy having you on so much. From your perspective, how dangerous slash how much of a question mark are the Arizona Cardinals when this thing flips to the playoffs in a week?
Well, I think they're dangerous, but I think they're dangerous on both sides. I think that losing streak showed you that, geez, really? I thought we were beyond this. Right. And I know that that has been a talking point, and I've listened to some of your radio, and I catch your guys' drift, and I am and I'm pretty confident that that's a lot of the feeling there is that, hold on a second, that was supposed to be done in 2020, right? That was our adolescent phase and our adolescent stage, and we're supposed to be beyond this and be able to be consistent. And then, you know, that NFL game I did that you referenced, Gambo, the Rams and the Seahawks.
Right.
Sean McVay said, hey, listen, how do I judge talent in the NFL? It's all on consistency. Anybody can be great for stretches, but can you consistently do it week in, week out, month in, month out, season in, season out? And that is where I think, unfortunately for the Cardinals, and if I'm a fan and I'm covering them or I'm following them, is, man, we should have been more mature than this, should have been able to finish stronger than this. And while we are dangerous and still very, very talented, we're just as dangerous on the other side to show our immaturity, unfortunately, as a club still.
Give me your thoughts on Bobby Wagner not playing. How much of a benefit, you know, for the Cardinals is that, not having Wagner in the lineup for Seattle?
Well, Cody Barton played pretty good. By far, his best game as a Seahawk in 3+ years. He tried to play a little strong side linebacker, which he's not. He's not necessarily a weak side linebacker. He was a middle linebacker at his best at Utah and some good defenses. And he finally got to play that position because Bobby finally missed some significant real time. So he is, there's not really a drop in speed. Obviously, there's a drop in size and overall physicality, but he triggered a lot faster in downhill than Bobby has at times this season. And I don't think, as crazy as that sounds, and a Pro Bowler and a future Hall of Famer and everything else, I don't think in this case that is that significant of a loss for the Seahawks.
All right. We not only thank you for your time, we thank you for your devout loyalty to the Burns and Gambo show, Brock.
We got your back.
Yeah,
we got your back.
I'm sure it was hard for you to say no to those other shows, but man, your loyalty to us is it's I'm going to take that into the weekend with me. I really, really am.
Wow. It was not easy, as I said, multiple occasions.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Trying not to be that guy.
Very
I don't
popular.
Like to say no, but yeah, Burns and Gambo, that's where the foundation was built and years ago.
You got that right, Doctor.
All
thanks,
right,
Brock. We appreciate it. Yeah, Brock.
Thanks,
Heward.
Brock.
Yeah, always good to talk to him. Joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it's got to be a jolt of energy around that building with the news of J.J. Watt and his return. How does Steve Keim see things panning out for his highly touted offseason addition? The general manager of the Cardinals stops by for his exclusive conversation with us every Friday next on the Burns and Gambo show.